And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I got a salad.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, June 13th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
A lot of playoff salads on this show as well. Long hair.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love to see it. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Comment away. And go get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. Because we dropped, for a limited 24 hours only, a new Nuggets No Dunks shirt. It's the Denver Man. Back to the ABA days. I love this design from our friends at Breaking Tea. So go to nodunks.com. This will be only available to buy until basically midnight tonight. It went live last night after the Nuggets won the chip, and it will stay up for about 24 hours. But I gotta grab one of those. You can get that in a hoodie if you'd like as well.
That one's a beauty.
God, it's nice.
I would tattoo that on me.
Oh,
or
wow.
A Nuggets fan.
Yeah, you have a diehard Nuggets fan in your life. Big Smooth, we call him.
I do.
Would he consider getting that tattooed if we paid for it?
I think he would consider it. One of the last things he messaged me last night was,
"If we paid for it, I hope so."
What should I get for a tattoo?
Oh, okay.
He's like, maybe I'll get the rainbow skyline, but one of the buildings is a Larry O'Brien trophy.
Oh, pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. I was like,
I think he's been thinking about it for a while.
I wouldn't be surprised if that little Denver man works his way into the design.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. It wasn't pretty. I think we can agree on that. But the Nuggets beat the Heat last night, 94-89, in a frantic Game 5 to win the franchise's first ever NBA championship. I know there's a ton to unpack in regards to Jokic and his legacy and all the post-game festivities tasks. But we did have a basketball game, which we watched on playback. Do you have any takeaways, you know, from the game and the series here in Denver winning in five?
I've already kind of wiped the game from my brain. I got to be honest. I mean, it was an ugly, horrendous game that was kind of lucky to get into the 90s, I would say. 94-89 for the Nuggets in the end. Michael Porter Jr. coming through a rough series to this point, and obviously his team believed in him, and even though he didn't shoot all that well, they just needed him out there. He had 8 double-doubles in the playoffs. He had 3 all regular season, so that just kind of speaks to the way they fought and the way they got through. They won a game to end a finals by shooting 18% from 3. That's disgusting.
Right.
It shows that you can still win from two-point land. They won games in this series shooting 28%, 29%, and 18% from three. That's the third worst mark at 18% of any finals team ever in any game that took a decent amount of attempts, 25 attempts a game. So it just shows what kind of skill they had inside the two-point arc. The Heat were actually doing all they could. They were switching up the zones. They were pushing way up beyond the three-point line in that zone. They were just throwing everything at the Nuggets. The Nuggets shot 18% from three. I thought that he played extremely well. The Nuggets were in all sorts of foul trouble, and they still won. And they're still that good. And they felt the pressure, I think, of trying to end this game at home. Try to end this series, excuse me, at home. And that's why it was hideous. I mean, I think we're just going to forget about this game in general. Like, it reminded me of 2010 Lakers and Celtics. They went 7 games.
Yeah.
Game 7 was disgusting.
Yeah.
It was 83. Rock fight. It was 83-79. Kobe shot 6 of 24. No Celtic had 20 points. The fact is, the Nuggets won this game. Better team won. And I do think some of the pressure, it was 12 months ago in that building, the Colorado Avalanche, we're going to a different sport, couldn't end it in that series. It's like I think that played into a part here. They just weren't like themselves, but it was an ugly game. But they obviously were the better team throughout the series.
Game 7 vibes last night. Yeah. The way everybody was tight, couldn't hit shots, and just came down to a 94-89 game. Denver put the D in Denver this series. They gave up over 100 points once in the finals, and this is a team that we think of offense first, but they were so active with their deflections, making it hard for the Heat to get great looks. I mean, the Heat made more threes last night. They had barely any turnovers last night, and it still didn't matter because they ended up shooting 34% from the field, largely because Denver was completely locked in, I thought, in the fourth quarter. As they could sense that they were getting closer and closer to the championship, they turned up the defensive intensity even more so. KCP was awesome. Like, he's first team all playoffs defense for me easily in this. Had the steal on Jimmy Butler there at the end to kind of ice things. Just great performances from the Nuggets, a team that you think is going to come in and just smack the Heat offensively, run up and down the court. They did that at points in this series, but it was really their defense that brought home the championship.
It is wild that they wrapped up the finals in the championship, starting this game missing 20 of their first 22 three-pointers, the Denver Nuggets. They also couldn't hit a free throw. I mean, it was contagious, the lid on the rim there. They missed seven of their first 13 free throws. Yeah, but the Heat were not lighting it up on the other end. A lot of that was a Denver defense. And, you know, it got exciting there at the end when Jimmy Butler started catching fire from three, and then we had the controversial, you know, replay on the Jimmy kicking sort of Aaron Gordon in the nards there, and it was how's that going to be a foul on the Nuggets? But they said it was, and he goes to the line, and he knocks down all those, and yeah, and suddenly this was a close, close game. Like, credit to the Heat for obviously not rolling over and dying and saying, okay, 1-2-3 Cancun. Like, both teams left it all out there last night on the floor. It wasn't pretty, but my God, were they putting up a fight and made it a game. And a series in which they were outclassed because the Nuggets were better.
They were better. they had the two best stars out there at Jokic, extremely calm, leading his way through this game. And that foul trouble, I thought, could be a problem for the Nuggets in this game. Everybody seemingly getting into foul trouble in this game in the first half. Aaron Gordon had to sit. We saw DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan came out and played backup minutes there while Jokic sat with his foul trouble. It didn't matter. They're just too damn good offensively. And, you know, everybody pointing to Jimmy Butler, who just didn't have it on this game. He didn't have the drive and score over people. I mean, I look at Michael Porter Jr. and I think it's just impossible to have it like night in and night out throughout the postseason. He did it incredibly well for three rounds. And like Michael Porter Jr., you know, he stunk shooting the ball for a few games here to start this series. And sometimes it comes around. So it's hard to just put it on Jimmy and just say, hey, you should have scored more. You should have done more. At least he went down fighting at the very end. I mean, could he have pulled up for some of those shots in the mid-range? Yeah, that would have been nice to see instead of him just driving to pass all the time last night. But
yeah, some it's bad hard. Possessions.
It's hard right to be a number one guy for 2 months over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, bad possessions at the end. That one, obviously, that led to the KCP turnover where he just decided he wasn't going to shoot it in the lane and then sort of tried to kick it out. And there was no passing lane there whatsoever. And then there was that three-pointer, too. There was that three-pointer that he, you know, after the timeout that they called, and it was like, that's the shot you're going with? You know, at least Jimmy's taking it, but yeah, not great, but wow, what an ending to this NBA season. Let's talk Jokic. He wins the Bill Russell NBA Finals MVP award. Does he have it? Where is it right now? Like, he held it for a second and then just put it down. I saw more photos of Coach Malone holding the Finals MVP trophy than I saw of Jokic. But this
they had
guy,
a photo. They had a photo shoot after the game.
After, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Jokic averaged 30.2 points per game, 14 boards, and 7.2 assists in the five-game finals. 30, 14, and 7. His best game was that game 3 there when he went for 32, 21, and 10, had two blocks. In a game which the Nuggets rebounded from their only loss in the series, he is just the fifth player in NBA history to average 30, 10, and 5 in a finals series. It's Kareem, it's Hakeem, it's LeBron, a couple times, it's Giannis, and it's Jokic. Not bad, the 30-10-5 there in the finals. He's the 11th player in NBA history to win at least two regular season MVP awards, a championship, and a finals MVP. But, like, more than that, I think when you, like, zoom out a little bit Jokic just completed one of the greatest postseason runs in NBA history, and he statistically joins a pretty incredible list of GOATs. There are only four guys who played at least 15 postseason games and had a PER over 30 and won the chip. It's LeBron who did it three times, it's Jordan who did it twice, it's Shaq, and it's Jokic. That's it. That's it. The PER over 30, 15 games played, obviously, meaning you're going very far and winning the championship. LeBron and MJ also did it in seasons that they didn't win the championship. That just speaks to how great they are. But that's where he is. Like, I mean, he's immediately in, like, the pantheon here of all-time greats with two MVPs and now a Finals MVP in this championship run. Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. When you're starting from a baseline of two MVPs, there's not a lot of guys that have that as their baseline. Yeah. So to add a championship and a Finals MVP on top of it, it's incredible. To be the first guy to lead the entire playoffs in total points, rebounds, and assists, just amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's because of the way basketball is gone and that we're allowing centers to do what Jokic actually can do. But when you're on lists with like the top six postseason performers of all time, that is pretty good, especially considering like what's Jokic's signature moment in this playoffs? Probably the shot against Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Against the Lakers.
Absolutely.
But they just blew through the competition.
Yeah.
They were never in danger of losing here. We talked about all season long, this is a wide open championship. This is a wide open championship. There was one team that was clearly head and shoulders above everybody else because they have Jokic, and that's why they were able to crush it.
Yeah, zooming out is fun because you see what he did to LeBron and Anthony Davis. Didn't let them get a game. What he did to Durant and Booker. Even to first round to Rudy Gobert, who was probably played in the best of anybody defensively. Bam tried his frickin' best. Mm-hmm. And you know, it speaks to what you just said, Trey, where centers are pulling everybody out because there's just less space in the game today. So you got to pull everybody out. And he's doing it from everywhere on the floor. He's doing it in every single way. The comparisons are eerily similar to Giannis Antetokounmpo, two MVPs and then winning that first championship in his eighth season. And if you like zooming out even a little bit more, just looking at him, you know, without Jamal Murray the last couple of years and how damn good he was, he's now had multiple postseasons averaging 30, 10, and over 50%. That's only the fifth player to do that. And so we don't really give him a lot of credit for going to the conference finals in the bubble and getting up against the Suns and getting swept without Jamal Murray. But only Kareem, Shaq, Hakeem, and Anthony Davis have had 30, 10, and shot over 50% for multiple postseasons. He's just been really good, but he just hasn't gotten the credit because he hasn't won a title, and for whatever reason, people not watching him, doing it a different way, not extremely athletic, or whatever. But yeah, he's showing now, as soon as you get the title.
All right. You got it.
Yeah.
We love you now. That's how it should be, though.
Yeah.
100% that's how it should be. You shouldn't get as much credit until you get the title. And then you get the title, and we're ready to talk about, like, where Jokic is all-time amongst centers. That was the one going around in a group chat I saw today. All-time great center resumes. Kareem, I think still ahead of Jokic here.
Sure.
Shaq.
Yeah.
Still ahead.
Yep.
Shaq, I think, is a close one. That
we're
will be
close.
Yep. Wilt, still ahead. Bill Russell, still ahead. Hakeem Olajuwon. Hakeem and Shaq are the next two on the list, I think, because I think Jokic has now passed David Robinson, who was a two-time champ, but a one-time MVP. Didn't win until Tim Duncan got there. And then Patrick Ewing, who I think was at the bottom of the list for top eight center. So I would say Jokic probably sixth right now with Shaq and Hakeem next in his sights.
Right. Well, the similarities to that 2000 Shaq Lakers run, where he obviously wins the chip. They won 67 games. That was the start of the three-peat. Is that what's going on here with the Denver Nuggets? Is it a possibility that the Nuggets could be the next NBA dynasty? Do you have opinions on that? Obviously, none of this is easy to do. Back-to-back is obviously, you know, Tim Duncan never did back-to-back, which is crazy to think about. But what do you think about the Nuggets' chances moving forward here into next season? Should they be the favorites?
Yeah, they should be the favorites. They just won the championship. Mm-hmm. And they've got two young guys in their prime who are signed. If you're saying, are they the next dynasty? The smart move is betting against the dynasty because look how hard it is to win one championship.
Yep.
They could have been a finals team any of the past three seasons, but Jamal Murray was hurt. Michael Porter Jr. was hurt. The first chance they got, they finally really made it there and did it. But one injury at a poor time,
You're losing it. I mean, like, look at the teams we thought could have potentially been a dynasty. The Thunder in 2012 never made it back. Yep. Completely broke up. The Bucks haven't made it back since 2021 to basically no fault of Giannis. Chris Middleton got hurt. Giannis got hurt at the beginning of the playoffs this year. The Celtics made one finals during this incredible run they had.
Yeah.
It's just hard to win a championship. As you've seen with the Nuggets, everything has to go the right way. They're going to be losing Bruce Brown. They're going to be having to deal
with... He said he wants to come back.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see what he says when the money comes through. We'll see what happens with KCP in a couple of years. Yeah. Jeff Green is going to be a free agent as well. I think the West definitely runs through Denver. As long as Jokic and Murray are healthy, like, they're going to be one of the top four teams in the NBA. But, like, predicting a dynasty right away, I think is tough.
Well, they needed a second player the last couple of years, or they could have already got one. They didn't have Jamal Murray the last couple of seasons. So it just shows how good they are now. And that's why I think it's a little short-sighted to say, Jokic hasn't been that great the last couple of seasons because he didn't win a championship. You need a second player. And now he has one. And so they're great. So dynasty, yeah, it's possible.
Malone, I mean, was leaning into the idea of, like, at least going back-to-back, and then later, post-game, Malone said, we talk about the evolution in this game. You go from a nobody to an upstart. You go from an upstart to a winner, from a winner to a contender, and from contender to a champion. The last step after champion is to be a dynasty. So he's already trying to talk it into existence. But for all these reasons that you went through, Trey, I mean, it's like, why not? Obviously, the young core. I mean, Jokic, 28. Murray, 26. Aaron Gordon, somehow only 27. I feel like Aaron Gordon's way older than that. Michael Porter Jr., 24. So they're, like, right there in that sweet spot, especially your stars hitting their prime. And they're all signed. And so now they'll just have to, like, do these moves, you know, around the fringes. And hope that Christian Brown is the next Bruce Brown, if Bruce Brown obviously leaves in free agency and takes the payday, and some of these other picks that they've got and acquired even throughout these finals, making this deal with the Thunder to take a couple more bites at the apple to grab, like, a somebody at the 37th or 40th pick that could maybe be contributing in a postseason for some minutes here and there. So
how many titles are a dynasty?
How many titles are a dynasty? Well,
say three.
Three over whatever window. I mean, obviously, you do you consider the Spurs a dynasty, even though they never went back-to-back?
Classic.
Well.
Yeah, it's a different type of dynasty, but yeah, I think they're
Spurs
dynastic.
Spurs definitely. Warriors definitely were dynasties. And then the Bulls previous to that. Or I guess the Lakers previously to that. The Bulls previous to that. But you wouldn't consider, like, the Kobe and Powell Lakers a dynasty.
Well, I was going to ask you, the Heatles, do you consider a dynasty?
Only four seasons they lasted? Not really.
Right.
So that's the other thing is, like, they're signed now, but they basically got, like, 3 years to do it, including this year. So to win three in three seasons, that is really tough.
Yeah. Well, you said it right there, too. Like, the championship's going to have to go through Denver out west, right? Because especially when you look at the landscape, I mean, we're going to be waiting to hear what the Ja Morant punishment is for the Grizzlies. They're obviously a good team, but an elite team with Ja Morant. How much time he's going to miss, we're going to find out maybe later today or later this week. The Warriors are getting older. LeBron is 39. I mean, the Lakers are good, but they just got swept by this team. The Suns have a new coach, and they got to figure out the rest of their roster around their stars. And who does that leave? Like the upstart Kings? You know, can the Wolves go to another level? Can the Thunder get in this mix? You know,
Trae Young,
a bunch of teams.
Trae Young tweeted, we next. So maybe they're next.
Trae Young, okay, well, they'll meet them in the finals then, the Atlanta Hawks.
Five different champions, though, in 5 years. That's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah.
And maybe keeping Christian Brown around is kind of the secret here. Look at what this guy's done. He won a state title his last 3 years of high school in Kansas. Then he went to KU, won a title in his third season there. Now he's a rookie. Championship in the NBA. 5 trophies in 7 years for Christian Brown. I say put him on Team USA this summer.
Wow.
Get him a World Cup and then put him on Team USA next summer. Get him a gold medal. This guy's done it all. Then he can retire at the ripe old age of like 22.
Oh, my
What
goodness.
Else is there? I'm on top.
Put him in the Hall of Fame and he's done. Denver finished this postseason 16-4. That's really impressive. That matches the 2007 Spurs with a 16-4 record, and it's the second fewest losses by a champion in the last 20 years, only the 2017 KD Curry Warriors besting that with the, you know, not bad 16-1 run to their championship there in 17, like I said. But yeah, the Nuggets, let us know what you think. Are they set up here to at least be the next dynasty, or is it like next to impossible in this league where there is a lot of parity? And sure, one injury, one ankle injury to Jokic, and goodbye to everything. I don't care who else is there, because this guy just proved that he's one of the best of all time. Random notes from last night's game or post-game celebrations. What'd you think about the cannonball we saw? From who was it?
Okay, so it starts with Jokic basically pull it, or I guess it's Murray trying to pull Jokic.
No,
in
I thought it was
thing.
Jokic
and then
pushing
Jokic,
Murray.
Yeah, eventually they both
he pulled him. He pulled him out of the celebration. Jokic said to Murray, "Come here." He kind of pulled him into the hallway. Apparently, Nick Cosmeter wrote the story for The Athletic. He pulled him into the hallway. He had no idea where he was going, and he just pulled him towards the pool. And then Sparky Gonzalez, I believe his name, helped push Jamal Murray into the pool, who was holding a champagne bottle at the same
time, and managed
to hold it, go into the water, and come up with the champagne bottle.
Yeah, and so Jokic falls in with him.
Yeah,
They're both in there.
And then I think it's my C-ball sources say it was Vlatko Chanchar coming in with a tight squeeze of a cannonball to get in there. He goes for the full tuck. He abandoned a little at the end, but understandable. Probably thought he was going into the edge. Looked pretty dangerous. But at least somebody else was there to celebrate with him. Because I felt they were like, come on! Come on! You guys want to get in?
Well, one of the weirdest celebrations from a superstar of all time, I think we can agree, with Jokic. Just the way he went about everything. Almost didn't feel like he wanted to be there. You saw the clip of him with the champagne.
Too good.
Half-assed, too good. A couple squirts out. Okay, let's go see the horses. Like, doesn't want to stick around for the parade. he's just like, he's basically looking at it like a job. He's like, okay, job's done. Time to go home, which is pretty funny.
He hates all the attention around it. I think he when he was asked about the parade and he's the staffer said, oh, it's on Thursday, and he put his head in his hands and he goes, oh. No, I got to go home. He goes, no, you can go home on Friday. He goes, okay. I mean, I think he's excited to be with his teammates. He just despises everything around him.
Sure, sure.
Then he was asked about it being the best Serbian year for sports in history. And he said, yeah, well, actually, let me check my phone. And he went to go see if Djokovic had texted him. And he goes, oh, motherfuck. I like how he said mother funk. As he looked at his phone, he said, oh, I got to turn this thing off. Too many texts. Mm. He just hates people, and that's why he was like trying to get away from the celebrations. I think he likes his teammates, but he just hates everything around it. And maybe that's the way the dynasty ends. He just says, I'm done with this stuff. I'm going back. I'm going back to Serbia, and I'm not playing basketball
anymore. You want to make him happy? You fly in all the horses from Serbia for the parade.
He would have loved to have the horses.
No buses, no pickup trucks, none of that. All horses. Every single player on a horse in this parade, he wouldn't stop smiling. He'd be ecstatic. He would never want to leave. He just got to get those horses over here. So can we put horses on a private jet? Why not?
Can't we put horses on a private jet? I don't know, man. They gotta get around somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So bring him over.
I was happy that he had that pool moment, because I want somebody to be happy after they win a championship. Yeah. Like, I do think it's funny the way he was acting, but I'm like, come on, man. You're at the top of the game right now. You should be enjoying it a little bit here. So I was happy to see that in private he actually was.
Yeah, I can't believe how upset I was that he wasn't prominently placed in, like, the group team photos. After, like, where they're obviously holding the LOB. I don't know why it was bugging me. It was like, somebody tell him to at least get up into the middle and hold the trophy for one photo. It's like us when we were 12 years old at, like, a family gathering. And it's like, okay, let's get the family together and take a photo. And, like, you know, you're a moody 12-year-old. You want nothing to do with it. But your mom would be like, you're taking
get
one
up here.
Fucking photo.
You're going to want
then,
these
yeah,
photos.
You're smiling, and then you can go play with your video games or play sports. But he's just, like, way in the back corner. But, you know, it's cute as hell with his kid. I mean, his kid was, like, the coolest cucumber there is.
It's not who he is, just giving the rest of the team the shine. But I think the finals just warmed out. I mean, from even before game one, he was just surprised by all the media, wanted each game to start, was said basically before game two, he's like, enough with the questions, essentially. Like, I'm tired of all this. He just wanted to play basketball. And so as soon as it was done, he was done.
He's exhausted. I can't wait to see what his brothers are going to do in this parade, though. Those guys, the video of them throwing Michael Malone around like a child. Gold. Gold, gold, gold. Anything else from the post-game festivities or the game itself?
Jamal Murray was pretty emotional.
He was.
I thought he was in tears basically right away. I didn't necessarily peg him as a crier, but he's obviously been holding things in with the injuries and the way people have been calling him Bubble Murray. Now you got to call him Championship Murray. Basically, after you win the title, everybody's nickname gets upgraded to Champion because now Uncle Jeff Green wants everybody to call him Uncle Champ Green.
Okay, okay.
So instead of Big Honey, it's Big Champy.
Okay. It's pretty wild when you think about how this Nuggets team was assembled. Jokic is, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say he's the greatest draft pick in NBA history, going 41st overall, winning two MVPs, and obviously bringing the Denver Nuggets their first championship now. Murray selected 7th in the 2016 draft, a pick that came from the Knicks in their Carmelo Anthony trade at the 2011 deadline. Yeah, that's a weird one. Michael Porter Jr. falling to 14th. In the 2018 draft, a lot of it because of the back issues, which obviously slowed his NBA career here. Aaron Gordon, they got him in the Orlando Magic fire sale from a couple years back when Vooch goes to the Bulls and Aaron Gordon goes to the Nuggets. Nobody wanted Bruce Brown for whatever reason in free agency, so they grab him. And KCP, really, a contributor as well, coming from the Wizards in that Monte Morris and Will Barton sort of role player swap there. A lot of these guys instrumental in the Nuggets championship team there. But yeah, Jokic at the 41st pick of the 2014 draft during a Taco Bell commercial. Now he's one of the greatest.
Quesarito. He outlasted the quesarito. It's not even on the menu anymore.
Damn.
somebody dug up that when they were talking about him on ESPN, I think it was during an MVP something or other, when he won an MVP, that the highlights they were showing were Yusuf Nurkic highlights.
When he signed his max deal.
Oh, when he signed his max deal.
Just by accident?
Well,
obviously.
Yeah, I guess.
But it was definitely Nurkic's highlights from the Blazers.
Yeah.
Not from when he was on the Nuggets. That little bit there. That was confusing, though, at the beginning of their careers.
Jokic and Nurkic?
Yeah.
Yep. Two big guys? For sure. All right. Well, look, unless you guys have anything else that you want to chime in here about.
MPJ, man. What a game for that guy. 3 assists.
Yeah.
It's not a career high. I checked, but it felt like a career high. And they were probably like the 3 best passes he's had in the NBA. The one coming down the lane, finding Jamal Murray in the corner. Who is this man?
Yeah, it was great.
That was awesome.
Nearly a season high, but, 4 was a season high. That was a big night.
He had a 6th game in the playoffs. Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
He had a couple, higher assists in a game than I thought in the
DeAndre
playoffs.
DeAndre Jordan straight up played, man. He was a plus in the finals.
He had a block.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon had a block with his armpit.
Yes.
At one point, that was a cool play.
On Kyle Lowry. Hey, look. To the Heat fans out there, what a season. I mean, what a postseason run as the 8th seed, surprising all of these teams with these upsets. The Miami Heat had more 4-game win streaks in the playoffs than they did in the regular season. They had 2 in the playoffs, and they had 1 in the regular season. That is just nuts. And they just shot so poorly through the regular season, and then obviously were one of the best shooting teams until the finals. Until they ran into the Denver Nuggets. What a year, though. I mean, I know we have a lot of time to break down what they'll do next, and we can probably save that for later this week. Do they have to or want to make another big move? There's obviously a million Damian Lillard rumors, and he's talked about, hey, I'd go there, as long as they don't win a championship, which they didn't. But what a year. I don't know if you have any thoughts on the Heat and just surprising us time and time again here in the postseason.
You said it. It was an incredible run. As an 8 seed. I mean, it started in that first round, the way they it's hard to think back to what they did in game 5, but that was probably the craziest game of the playoffs. They went into overtime with the Jimmy Butler alley-oop there where he pushed off Drew Holiday and threw it in, and that was a bonkers fourth quarter in overtime. Yeah, it was an incredible run. As I sort of said at the beginning, Jimmy Butler having to do it as the guy over and over and over again was tough, and he said in his post-game press conference, I truly do believe that we're going to do this here in Miami. He said he's had hell of a teammates come through and help him. And maybe he's saying he just needs a hell of a one more teammate to kind of help him get there at the end.
No, they're missing big one. I mean, Tyler Hero throughout the entire postseason. Or he's the trade piece.
Or the trade piece.
For the whatever potential contributing players coming back. They're close. And that was, they took down Giannis. They obviously take care of the Knicks. They sort of, like, crushed the Celtics. Obviously, it went to seven in
what
the end.
What a weird series
What
that
a
was.
Weird one that was. And then, yeah, outclassed. I think, like, it felt like the Nuggets were going to beat any team that they saw from the Eastern Conference. I mean, if the Celtics had gotten there, I think people would have been taking the Nuggets, and I think they would have beaten them. I don't know. Is it closer? Who knows? But still, an incredible year here from Jimmy Bam and the Miami Heat and Spo there.
And you're right, Tess. They might have played the two craziest games in the playoffs this year. That Bucks win in Game 5, that was a crazy one with the Jimmy play, and then the Derek White tip against the Celtics as well, which, like, they had that one won with Jimmy making a hard charge there at the end of Game 6 before the Derek White tip in. So, big shout-out to the Heat. We made our picks for the first round before the Heat even punched their ticket out of the play-in tournament. We're like, it does not matter. Whoever the Bucks play, they're taking this one easily.
Yeah.
I picked a sweep. Didn't matter. I thought it was going to be the Bulls. Almost was.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they barely got into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. Losing to the Hawks, obviously, in the first play-in game, and then coming back very late against your Chicago Bulls to actually get in there. And then, yeah, they were helped out a little bit, of course, with the Giannis injury, but took care of business and kept rolling all the way through. And that's it for Udonis Haslem as well. It's a career.
Call it a career.
I mean, he talked about it. I don't know if you saw any of his comments, like how, like, sort of a cool way to go out. I mean, what a magical run here. It would have been better with a championship, but pretty impressive. We got to take a break. When we come back, NBA news. Don't go anywhere.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right. JD forgot there was only one ad there, I think.
Caught me off guard a little.
Okay, other NBA news. Raptors guard Fred VanVleet has declined his player option for next season. He is set to become an unrestricted free agent. He was set to make $22.8 million in the final year of his four-year $85 million deal, which, I did forget, biggest contract signed by an undrafted player in NBA history. He had until Wednesday, though, to decide whether he was opting in or out of his option. It's not a surprise task that he opted out, and he's going to test unrestricted free agency. But what does this mean for the chances of the Raptors keeping VanVleet? Or do they want to? Or do you think he's going somewhere else?
I think they're moving on. I think it was a great run. But I think after they didn't come to an agreement last summer, where he would have signed an even bigger deal for an undrafted free agent, and this season not going too well, just between him and the management, I think he would like a new start, and it seems like the Raptors also are going to try and get something for him, whether it's in a sign and trade. It's an interesting scenario because he's young enough to kind of fit with the teams that have a lot of salary cap room,
like, you know, the Rockets, the Magic,
yeah,
like those
to some degree. But he would fit more on, let's say, the Phoenix Suns can work out some sort of sign and trade somewhere where he would actually be a part for, you know, as a complementary to superstars type part. But he's going to get more than that 22.8. So it's, you know, he's going to bet on himself here, and he's going to get a big contract.
Exactly. He should opt out of his contract and try and make some money here because, like you're saying, he's 29 years old, 30 during the next season. This is probably his last big deal.
And it's quite likely Fred VanVleet is the best player that changes teams in the offseason this year. We'll see what happens with Kyrie Irving and James Harden, who are ahead on the boards rating from John Hollinger. But those guys could easily stay put where they are. Whereas, like you're saying, Tass, Fred VanVleet, you can see him on a contending team. You can see him on a young team like the Magic or the Rockets, who need a veteran that they want that helps them raise up their talent level and just be a little bit more professional. So he's in a pretty nice spot here and kind of will have his choice of where he wants to go. I guess Woj called him the first major domino, which I think is true from a league standpoint. And it's also going to be interesting to see from a Raptors standpoint, because if Fred leaves, then I think it becomes quite obvious that their new coach is the rebuilding coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Woj in his article said there were several contending teams who discussed VanVleet trade deadline deals with the Raps. Those conversations could be revisited now here in free agency. At the time, if you go back to the deadline, there were a lot of teams rumored to be interested in VanVleet and his services. You know, you had the Lakers, the Clippers, the Wolves, the Mavs, the Suns, like you said, their tasks. I felt like in the East, it was, you know, the Magic, and there was some Wizards talk, and maybe even the Heat at one point. But there are a lot of teams that could use a VanVleet. Now, at $30 million per year, I don't know. Yeah, there's less teams maybe so inclined to want to give him that type of deal. But those young squads that you said, there's no doubt in my mind that if VanVleet was added to them, they're jumping up in terms of the win column. Like he can take a team that's been very, very bad for a while to, I think, you know, knocking on play-in door or even into the playoffs. I think he's that type of game changer, just the way he plays and how hard he plays defensively and stuff like that. But we'll see if it's, you know, a lot of people think the Suns or the Sixers, you know, depending on what happens with James Harden. So maybe pairing back up with Nick Nurse, which would be funny. Or one of these, teams that just have all this cap space and that could afford him and want to win some games, like the Rockets come to mind for sure.
And as Trey was saying, he's become a free agent at the right time. Like, this is a good year for Fred VanVleet in terms of how many guards are out there that are game changers. I kind of want to see him as a third piece on a great team to help out win a championship instead of having to take on a huge role, and hopefully his body would hold up. Like, if he was with the Phoenix Suns this year, an entirely different playoff run if they could somehow get him. I don't know how that works, to be honest, in a sign-and-trade scenario. Yeah. That would be difficult for the Suns to give enough to the Raptors. But we saw what happened with Kyle Lowry, dealt to the Miami Heat in a sign and trade that ended up being Precious Achiuwa and Goran Dragic. So you get less on the dollar in a sign and trade scenario if Matt Ishbia can figure something out, you know, sweeten the pot when you get there type thing. But yeah, it also depends what happens with, you know, the Rockets, if they swing and miss somewhere else, and they could give VanVleet a ton if they don't get Harden.
Moving on, according to Shams, the Pelicans are expected to aggressively pursue a top pick, potentially second or third in the upcoming NBA draft, because they want G League Ignite guard Scoot Henderson. That's who the Pels have their eye on, according to Shams. They currently have the number 14th pick in the draft. This sort of came out of nowhere there yesterday, TK, about the Pels. They want Scoot. So what's it going to take? And can they get him? Or no chance here?
They could definitely get him. They've got young players who are tradable. They've got future picks that are tradable from the Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday deals in the past. They've got a Lakers pick in either 24 or 25, a Bucks pick in 25 or 27. Somehow the Pelicans keep picking in the lottery. Even after they drafted Zion Williamson, they're in the lottery for the fifth straight year. So that's crazy to me, but I imagine the second or third pick, the Hornets or the Trailblazers, are going to be more interested in getting picks from the Pelicans than they would be their young players, just because I can't imagine that Zion's going to be in the deal or Brandon Ingram would be in the deal. This seems more like you would want to add Scoot to those two guys to be your big three going forward. Getting a young guy in on a contract like Scoot would probably be big time for the Pelicans, considering Zion's going to be making a ton of money, Ingram's going to be making a ton of money, and we got this new CBA coming in. And honestly, maybe it's a little bit of a contingency plan for Zion, considering he hasn't really been able to stay on the court in his NBA season, in his NBA career here. It'll be interesting to see, though. It feels like we're going to get a big draft night trade from somewhere, just with the teams that moved up into 2 and 3.
If you're the Hornets and David Griffin and the Pels call you and say, "We'll trade you Zion. We want the number two pick. We want Scoot. Would you do it if you're Charlotte?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Zion played at Duke.
Would you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if that's part of the deal, MJ in the front office are just absolutely yearning for the day they get a superstar on their team. They've been looking to get like a super duper star forever, and they keep picking on the lottery, and they've got LaMelo. It wouldn't make sense to get somebody who's not a ball handling guard. Zion, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. But as far as the Pelicans go, if there's a deal there, it makes sense, I think, that David Griffin would go all in. Going back to his Cavs days and LeBron forcing him to go all in year after year after year, this would be going all in. You traded for CJ McCollum, be trading multiple picks. You've obviously got Zion and Brandon Ingram. But if you're Charlotte, you want a pick and a player, right? Because you've got a second pick in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're probably asking for a wing to complement LaMelo Ball, you know, like a Herb Jones or somebody, something like that. They would, I'm sure, be excited about that. A pick, like, to get Herb Jones and the number two pick, one of those picks that the Pelicans have to offer, excuse me, the Lakers pick or a couple Bucks picks plus Herb Jones, then we're talking.
To me, I felt like this report here from Shams was David Griffin and the Pels telling the rest of the league, like, call me. Call us. We want to be aggressive here. We want to make moves. We have a ton of picks. We have a ton of young players. We obviously have some you know, budding superstars here in Zion, if he can stay healthy, and obviously Brandon Ingram. We're open for business here. So I think, like, yeah, the headline is they want Scoop, but I also think it's like, well, hear what else you other 29 teams that maybe want to get into the draft or want some of these young talents and are moving off another player. Like, call us. We're available to talk. That's sort of what I'm reading here. Because I also don't think, I don't know if you have a take on, I know we're not like diehard draft guys here, but like, there's been so many rumors that it's like, the Blazers, what will they do? They're going to get Scoot at 3. I think Scoot's going to the Hornets at 2. I don't think any of this is true, that they're actually focused on Brandon Miller more because of, like, they're worried about, I guess, an overlap in guard play because you have LaMelo and Scoot. Like, you are not in the position to be worrying about that.
They should not be.
They should not be. So I've always believed Scoot will go too, but yeah, that's my take on this whole thing from the Pelican side of things, because they have paths that they can go here and packages that they could put together that are pretty enticing with a lot of these young players and Herb and Trey Murphy and all this. Like, some good talent on that team.
Yeah, definitely some good talent, but I don't think you're getting a better player from the Pelicans than Scoot. Like, if those guys were as hot as we're talking about right now, they probably would be the top three draft pick as well. And I don't think they would go top three in this draft. So I don't know. It feels like Scoot is dropping a little bit from 2 to 3. He was kind of like known as the number two guy. Now it feels like he's number three. A lot of people are bigging up Brandon Miller since he's got the size and the shooting ability, which makes the third pick feel very gettable, I think, yes, at this point in time, considering where the Blazers are at with Damian Lillard and wanting to pick a path here, try and be competitive once again or not. So we shall see.
J.E. Scoots. You want to change your name when Scoot Henderson enters the
league? Sure, I love Scoot Henderson. I'm high on him.
Shout out to Jules Evelyn for that one.
Good. I mean, I guess the final thought of this is, Zion Williamson's had some interesting off-court drama this offseason, and what do the Pelicans think of him and his commitment to obviously staying healthy and playing and you know, what he's doing in the offseason? Like, how do they feel about him, honestly, as like a franchise guy? Has that diminished a little bit over these last couple seasons? And that, is he potentially available here? Could someone come in, another team, and say, yeah, we'll take Zion Williamson off your hands? I don't know. I don't think it's that far-fetched, right?
I don't think they'll trade Zion. Not right now. I mean, his value is probably the lowest it's been since he's been a Pelican, considering the contract he's on and the injuries, troubles he's had, not to mention anything off court. But he's played 114 games in 4 seasons.
Oh, wow, that's it.
Holy, yeah, exactly. Moly, unfortunately, crazy. Every other NBA team is aware of that, too.
Yep. Final piece of news here. In a recent interview with Bally Sports, LeBron James explained why he has never felt eager to take part in the NBA dunk contest. He said it was simply never one of his goals. Didn't have it on his vision board, or whatever you call those. Quote, I don't think it was something I wanted to accomplish in my career. It's not a goal of mine, and it never was coming into the NBA to be part of the dunk contest, you know? Making the NBA All-Star team was? Being the league MVP? Winning Defensive Player of the Year? He hasn't won that, has he? Winning NBA championships? Those were some goals of mine. The NBA dunk contest was never a goal of mine, so it wasn't something that I had too much passion for. End quote. LeBron, talking about the dunk contest. Well, you suddenly turned into the Alonzo Mourning meme there. You were like...
Look, I mean, you can't deny it. He never was in the dunk contest. The passion must not have been there.
Well, he told us he was going to go win it one year.
Yeah, the passion was there for a few minutes. He was caught up in the moment. I don't know. I went back and watched LeBron's high school dunk contest. Seemed like he had the passion back then, but maybe just wanted the McDonald's one.
Guess so.
Yeah.
What year was that where he is at All-Star Weekend and he basically says, I'm going
09 dunk contest, saying I'll be in it in 2010.
Right, yeah. In Dallas, in the big arena, in the big stadium there, but then didn't, yeah.
Inspired by Dwight and Nate Robinson.
Right, he got caught up in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, this is cool.
I think he saw the competition. He saw, I can take Dwight. I can take Nate Rob. I got this. Why is he talking to Bally Sports now? Go chill out. Why? It's a weird June interview, isn't it?
I don't know.
Was it at Le Mans? I saw he was at the 24 Hours of Le Mans.
It's true, he was.
Oh.
He was.
I guess he had nothing to do. He was driving for LeBron. 24 hours?
24 like, hours of LeBron. LeBron.
Well, this is their, you know, the not famous by any means, but there's a Stephen A. Smith clip from not that long ago, I think, where he said LeBron ruined the dunk contest because he never... would go in it, and specially teased us way back in the day that he was going to it, and then didn't. And Stephen
ruined the
dunk contest. He ruined it, Tess. Yes,
because he didn't go in it.
Yeah, because I think Stephen A. trying to make the point, like, you know, Jordan went in these things. You know, it is a showcase for the league. Like, your superstars going in it is a big deal, and you are, you are one of the greatest dunkers too. You know, in game at least, you could have gave it life, and then you elected not to. And that then had a bit of an effect on other people maybe not going in it. That, you know, that's Stephen A.'s hypothesis with this, that he ruined it. Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while since superstars have really gone in. It's been a minute. But yeah, LeBron could have carried the torch that Kobe did as well. I get it. Yeah, that's some degree. But then guys like Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon made it super cool for a minute.
It was cool. It was good.
It was alive.
And
it wasn't
If LeBron was younger in his career during the LaVine and Gordon dunk contest, LeBron would have said, I'm going to be in it next year. Because it was cool.
Interesting.
But he wouldn't have gone in.
No, he would have said he was going in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's also like the most calculating. So he's like, exactly. I'm not going to be able to beat those guys. Like, as great as LeBron is, and he is an incredible dunker, especially obviously when he was younger, some of these guys he would not have beaten, I don't think. I don't think so.
No.
Unless he's got a whole bunch of dunks we're not aware of.
Who was in the... What was the 2004 dunk contest? Huh. He would have won. He should have won in his rookie season.
Fred Jones?
Chris Anderson, Ricky Davis, Fred Jones, and Jason Richardson.
Oh,
Jason Richardson
That would have been a nice battle.
I don't think he won that one, though, right? Fred Jones probably won that one. Which is what I'm saying. LeBron would have won by entering.
Yeah.
They're going to grade him on a curve, man.
It's true.
Think about Blake Griffin. He didn't win the dunk contest, but he won the dunk contest.
Okay.
He was the number one pick.
Do you think it'd be fair if LeBron went in it next year that we grade him on a curve because he'll be 39 years old? Like,
yeah.
We give him like an extra point
I think LeBron would be a guaranteed finalist if he went in the dunk contest next year.
On layups.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Probably.
Maybe. All right. Well, I know a lot of people are passionate about this LeBron never going in a dunk contest. I'm sure you got some thoughts on that one. Anything else, guys, from the NBA world that I missed that we need to talk about? We're not going anywhere this week, by the way. We're going to figure out our schedule after this show, but we're going to have some beach step in. So get your questions in, No Dunks, Inc., I-N-C, on Twitter, at No Dunks, Inc., or email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. You know we'll be hitting the beach for some cues. But, anything else?
I'd like to hear Cheryl Miller's thoughts on LeBron not entering the dunk contest.
She did have the scoop, right? I mean,
That was Robinson, yeah.
I just thought of one thing. Going back to the finals here in the season. 58 wedgies.
Oof.
We tied the all-time record. Not bad. Hey, that's a great year. Incredible. 58, obviously regular season and playoffs. Slow down in the playoffs, Tass. You kept saying that's what happens, man, and it did. We only had four. We didn't have a wedgie in the month of May.
Bad month.
It was a drought. We got one there from Jamal Murray in June, but otherwise 4 in the playoffs, 58 overall. We thought it was the year we were going to set the all-time record, maybe even flirt with 60.
Yeah, we'll take a 58.
Some Roger Maris 61 vibes, but next year.
Yeah, 4 in the playoffs isn't terrible.
No?
But nah, it's pretty good, actually. 1 every 20 games. That's hot. That's a hot rate, got to be honest.
It's a hot rate.
That's pretty good. We've had more, but 58, wow. 2021, that was a season.
What would you set the line for wedgies next season at, though?
Set the line. Everybody forgets going into next season. Like, everybody's not going to remember how many were this season.
Right.
Because I even forget.
Right.
And I have a list in front of me right
sure,
here.
Sure.
So, I think the line every year is 49.5.
Okay. I think. Okay. So interesting to hit that magical 50.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go a little higher. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to give me like a 52 and a half.
Upgrading like Baller's Law.
That's right. Mm. Right.
More scoring, more three-point shots. We got to raise the wedgie
stickier
total.
Stickier ball. I don't know. What's going on? Yeah, more three-point shots is a big one. How do you feel about going into next year? Can we do it? Can we beat 58? Can we hit 60?
It's not going to happen.
Damn.
We're not going to hit 60 next year, but we're going to go over 50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. We got to take one more break. It's going to be a quick one. JD? One ad, we'll be right back with Tweet of the Night.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, back with the boys in the Classic Factory, and wow, Jerome doing some Photoshop work. I don't even want to be around anymore. That was Jokic, aka Carl Havoc, after the game and after the finals ended. He really did not want to be around anymore. That's good. That's good. Tweet that out, Jerome. Watch the likes. And the retweets
blast
come
away,
piling
boys.
In. Yeah, good stuff here.
I gotta say, I like the championship hats. Giant champions.
Sure.
So big it wrapped 3/4 of the way around your head. And the shirts I thought were awesome. Like, those are some of the best championship
some of the
shirts
better
we've
ones.
Had recently. Those
yeah.
look like a cool shirt that happened to be a championship shirt.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because usually they're brutal.
Yeah.
Man. They really love just a large font on any of
big
this stuff.
Font, baby.
Just one, you can see it from a mile away that you were champions
set.
That year. They always do that. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night.
Night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Twitter.
Oh, a couple of Tweets of the Night. I'll be honest with you. One of them is from the night. One of them is from the day.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, that's my skeets of the day right there. Tweet of the Night. First one comes from Jasmine Watkins. My favorite celebration
tweet. I'm fucking
tweet.
Still here. I'm not going anywhere, man. I'm right here. I ain't going anywhere.
What a day.
Of the many jokes, this is the first one I saw. This is from Jasmine, who says, Jokic said, it's the photo of Jokic drinking his Michelob Ultra looking exactly like the they don't know I'm etc. meme from a party, even holding the drink the exact same way.
That is incredible.
And it's too good. He's standing perfectly. The only question is, like, they don't know I'm an NBA champion, or they don't know I'm obsessed with horse racing. Which would he be saying? Because I think people would probably know the 7-foot guy is at least a basketball player.
Yeah, I think it's the horse lover.
I think that's
what the caption is.
They don't know I love horses. Everybody else is saying, yeah, man, you won't stop talking about it. Do you play basketball? So that was the Tweet of the Night.
Now, is that a bit? Are you making this a bit now? Or are you really struggling over there?
That was a bit.
Okay, that's good.
But I am struggling.
Yeah, you take one day off, and you get a little rust on you.
Take one day. I worked all afternoon yesterday.
You know what I mean. Esh was pushing the buttons over there yesterday.
Yeah, he was. He's killing it.
I think you're just pumped that the finals are over. That's what's I'm really very going
pumped.
On.
Very pumped.
Okay, great. Anything else?
I'm a little nervous to go to tweet number two. can we get another ISO schemes real quick here? I got a second tweet. Yeah. This one comes from my good friend, Pat Sajak. Well, the time has come. I've decided that our 41st season, which begins in September, will be my last. It's been a wonderful ride, and I'll have more to say in the coming months. Many thanks to you all. If nothing else, it'll keep the clickbait sites busy. Pat Sajak, saying goodbye to Wheel of Fortune.
What did he mean by that last line? I was confused by that clickbait line.
All I can guess is that maybe it's like he's expecting clickbait sites to start doing who takes over Wheel of Fortune next, the same way they did after Alex Trebek was done at Jeopardy.
Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Makes...
There was a lot of clicks around that time. More clicks on a wheel, though.
But, okay, I mean, no offense, but there's going to be some offense here. Like, Alex Trebek moving on from Jeopardy, way bigger deal than Pat Sajak moving on from the wheel.
Homer pick.
It's not because he's Canadian. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's my thoughts on Wheel of Fortune in general. I don't think it's like, I don't think it's on the Mount Rushmore of greatest... game shows in NBA history.
Oh, like, absolutely it is. It absolutely is.
Well, I know.
Is on
it's not on mine. Yeah. It's not on mine. You can't put it on mine. You can't carve his face on my mountain.
What do you got on there, Phil? I mean, Skeets.
Well, definitely Jeopardy.
Yeah, same.
Absolutely.
Definitely Family Feud.
Yeah.
Way above 100%. Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, but they've had like 100 hosts.
Yeah, but that's... I'm not saying the actual host. I'm saying the game itself.
Right.
And then I would probably go... Price is Right, and it's the fourth one is the tough one. Bumper Stumpers.
See, when you list it out, I'm like, yeah, he's in the top three most iconic television hosts.
Yeah, host,
game
for sure.
Show host.
He is a legend. He's
Trebek,
an absolute legend.
Barker, Sajak.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
And then probably Woolery is number four.
Do you like the game itself, though, Wheel of Fortune? Like, are you do you
Hangman guy?
I mean, it's fine. It's one of the easier games, I think. I like you, I would have it behind Jeopardy and Price is Right on my rankings, but that doesn't mean it's any less iconic, you know? Paul Pierce is still a Hall of Famer. even if he retired the same year as Dwayne Wade. Like, I got Dwayne Wade ahead of Paul Pierce, but Paul Pierce is still a legend.
Mm.
Pat Sajak's still a legend. Vanna White, my first ever celebrity crush. Loved her shoulders.
Fair. And her touch.
Is she going to still do it? Beyond Pat Sajak.
She should
she's
take
still
over.
Doing it.
She should take the hosting
She's
job.
Still doing it, huh?
Yeah. She hasn't announced anything. Pat Sajak, you mentioned Dwayne Wade. He's more of a Dwayne Wade than, let's say, a Tim Duncan, because he's announcing it before the season while
a
Duncan would just walk away. A Duncan would put down the cards, make fun of the last contestant, and just walk off and never come back again. More of a Jokic. But he wants this last year of adulation.
A little victory lap around the wheel. I gotcha.
RSTLN, love me. You know, nah, not great, but whatever.
What's Pat Sajak's most iconic moment?
You're right. You're making the clickbait.
I am.
Iconic Pat Sajak moments.
What are they? I can't think of one. But I know they're out there. All right, great tweets there. Little basketball and a little game show.
Pat Sajak's most iconic moments are people guessing like ridiculous answers.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Excuse me.
Like when it looks like it's something like very horny or graphic or something, and then it's those are funny. But it's got nothing on the feud. I like when the feud just really leaned into being just like crass.
Yeah.
You know, and like instead of like putting, like if an answer was like poop, like, you know, it'd be like turd in a bowl. Like they would like just like, do you know what I mean? Totally. I know I explained that poorly, but it was just like they just knew it. They knew people loved it for that. So they're like, all right, let's just do it. That's always a fun watch, like the best Family Feud answers. and read and reactions, especially for
definitely
Carson.
Definitely.
All right, guys, you have hours left to go get our new No Dunks Denver Man Championship T-shirt. Available for only 24 hours, but yeah, you're down to about 12 hours. This launched last night. Go to nodunks.com if you'd like to get that photo of Trey Kirby there holding the championship trophy and a pickaxe. I love that beard on this guy. Nodunks.com for that. Go get all your No Dunks merch there. We will be here tomorrow live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Probably hit the beach, so get your questions in. You can drop them in the YouTube comments. You can email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, or the best way, tweet them in to us at No Dunks Inc. That's INC on the end. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Y is a vowel sometimes.
Brace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.